Come, little human. He gestured his hand out to present more of his left arm for her. Let me melt your heart.
And today, Jen and I are discussing A Soul to Keep by Opal.
You're the one that pulled it up.
It's R-E-Y-N-E.
Oh. Renee?
Rain? I'm just going to say by Opal. How would you say that?
Yeah, you can probably say Renee or Rain. I mean, obviously, there's a right way to say it, but either or for this, for this episode.
So, The Dust Walker Brides, book one.
Yes.
And it has been a minute since I read it, and it's been double the minutes since Jen read it. So that's our disclaimer.
Been a long time.
Is there anything that stands out to you?
Okay. So one thing, I don't know. I kind of went into it blind. It was like hyped up on TikTok and Facebook groups. And I was expecting him to like take a human form at some point. Like I kept thinking like he's not going to stay this like dead longhorn head the entire time, right? And he stayed that way, and then his eyeballs glowed. And I'm like, "Okay, this is different." I think this was my first foray into like true monster. What's the word? Romance?
Monster romance, yeah.
Yeah, so like I was probably halfway through the book before I was like, all right, we are not getting a human form. Okay, noted.
Nope.
So that was different. But I do remember him being so adorably sweet. And mm-hmm. I almost got like fed up with her.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, just wouldn't listen or like understand, like see that side of him, because he was just so sweet.
Yeah, she was so worried about this misconception of what is everybody else gonna think. And I'm like, yeah, the people that you just came from, the village, they don't care what's happening to you. Why do you care what they're gonna think?
Yeah, and how would they know?
Yeah, so
completely agree.
Mm-hmm. That really bothered me that she was just so worried about this imaginary population. I'm like, you're in the Vale or wherever you're at. Like, nobody fucking cares. Like, if you're happy, be happy. Stop being an ass to him. I mean, but this was not my first monster romance.
No shit.
Well, I was kind of for the eye.
Thank you, Sherlock.
I was just trying to speak to the audience.
God, Jen. Sorry. Apparently, I'm like channeling Sully's sassy energy today.
I love it. For those listening, if this is your first time, Jen and I are quirky. No, I loved the book up to the 80% mark. I loved everything about it. I was pulled in, different world, different kind of monster. I love that he didn't change human. I love the whole emotions with the eyes. I thought that was really clever because otherwise, how would she be able to read the situation, right? So that was pretty genius. I liked part of the magic. So I don't know if you remember the way that they become cognizant and like have thoughts and be able to speak and a little bit of magic is they get that from the humans that they eat. That's how they absorb it. Yeah. And so one human that he ate, I guess, had a little bit of magic. And so that's how we got some of that. And then the fact that in the Vale, there were like levels of intelligence, not just among the Dustwalkers, but also like the demons. So I thought that creatures. Was pretty clever.
Yeah.
All the creatures. Yeah. The more humans they eat, the more they take on those characteristics.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best word for it. So I really appreciated that. It was new. I understand the hype, but I hated this book.
Really?
And I only hated it because of the last 20%. I have this thing. Okay. Again, for the audience, I love it if people get hurt, if people die, especially if it's like main characters, like dark romance reader here. I'm dark and twisted. It says it on my sweater, dark and twisted. Okay. I cannot, and I never will stand by killing one of the main characters, the couple characters, only to bring them back as a fucking ghost. Or a phantom or a plasma or whatever word she uses. And that for whatever reason, they can turn corporeal whenever they want or to do things. And then they're back to being ghostly. Mm-hmm. Abso-fucking-lutely not. No. I have PTSD.
But like the Duskwalker isn't alive. So she's just in the same form. I guess my defense to that is... It's not like he's alive in the sense that she was alive or we are alive. He's his own version of a phantom or a ghost, or he's a dust walker. Dusk.
I don't know. It's one of them.
So I feel like her being a phantom actually puts her closer to his real form.
I mean, but he doesn't go corporeal. He's solid all the time.
Well, yeah, but she's solid all the time to him.
No, she can go corporeal.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Unless I misread it.
I mean, you read it a lot more recently than...
But I was also angry. As soon as they made her a ghost, I was like, fuck this shit. I hate this motherfucking book. What the fuck? Lots of F-bombs.
Because I thought she only dies after...
She died because of his ex from 100 years ago threw a knife and stabbed her. And she doesn't want the dust walker or the witch owl or whatever. Something tells her, give him your soul, because that's how they bond.
Right.
And then what you don't learn is after the fact that giving the soul makes them the phantom or whatever, so that they could essentially live forever, because being the phantom means that she doesn't die because she already died. And that's because the Dustwalkers can't die. And that's how they have immortality together.
Hmm. Okay. So then if she hadn't died and given him her soul, would she have still had?
Why? Okay. No. Why did she have to become a phantom? She could have created this any way that she wanted. By giving the soul, they could have like locked immortalities together. She would have been protected by his magic or whatever, because he ate her soul or whatever. She didn't have to become a fucking ghost. I fucking hate it when they do that. There's only one other author and one other series that I refuse to fucking read because it pisses me off and it makes no sense. I can handle anything but that.
But in that case, you're talking about a romance with all humans. So I can see a ghost having like multiple...
The other one, they are not human.
Oh.
They're not.
What
do you want me to tell you? I'll tell you. It's J.R. Ward's, the Black Dagger series, one of the books, because they're vampires. She dies and they bring her back as a ghost, and she can only become corporeal if she's having sex with her mate because he has a special powerful hand, or if somebody gets hurt, like stubs her toe because she's a doctor.
Okay. Yeah,
what the fuck ever. It's stupid. I hate it.
I mean, that's fair.
And so I just had PTSD when this happened on this book. And I'm like, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. I hate it. It's trash. Just stop at the 80% mark. Don't even go any further. They get their HEA.
I mean, it's true. They do have their happy ever after before you hit that point.
When he goes to go hunting for her, whatever, right before the demon king comes to kidnap her, just stop. Just end it there. They're happily ever after. He's fetching food to make her happy. She's over here making things to make him happy. You don't need the rest. Or at least skip to the end so you can see her have the conversation with the witch owl. That's it. You don't need that chunk in the middle. pretend like it doesn't exist. And now I won't even read the rest of the series because all the other motherfuckers are going to have to die and become phantoms to be able to be mated. Whatever. Stupid.
But what if the other ones... Oh, wait. The witch owl tells her they all die, right?
The witch owl tells them that for them to become the brides is that they have to become phantoms. It's the only way it works. Because the witch owl is their mom and the darkness or the veil is their father. And that's how they were created. I don't know. It was genius. I'm pretty sure it was great. I blocked it out because I was pissed. The last part. I was like, no, you could have, there could have been magic. There could have been anything. There could have been a spell. There could have been a tether. There could have been anything. Turn them into dust walkers themselves. He had the magic to make her hoo-ha become big enough for him. Like, what the fuck?
That's a good point. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Whatever. That was Pitt.
So what did you... So you said you liked 80%. So what were the aspects of the book that you did like?
I liked how the intimacy between them was really slow. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's a human and a monster. Like, you gotta get to know it. But how we...
Yeah, because he literally has a skull for a head.
Yeah, how we learned about him through her, even though I don't like her. I liked that journey instead of, like, just dropping all of that stuff, like, in the first chapter or whatever. And then you gotta, like, have to remember, like, I liked the progression of, oh, his eyes are changing colors. I wonder why. Well, let's learn together. You know, oh, yeah. His body is really weird. Let's, you know... play cuddles under the covers and, you know, like they're in high school and like figuring everything out, right? And then like slowly emitting their, I don't know. It was a good slow angsty. I liked it, except for her. I liked it. He was so sweet. Yeah. And he was very honest. Like, this, you know, don't do this. She overcame her anger and this, like we were talking about, the arbitrary judgment, and he overcame his, I guess, bloodlust, blood rage, you know, because every time he smelled blood, it made him hungry. Or
because part of his deal, part of like why he had an added companion is because he ends up killing them, right?
They run away and they end up dying.
But
what we figure out at the end is that the Demon King and whoever his ex is, it also takes them and kills them. Yeah, manipulates them. So even if some of them wanted to stay, they were torturing him because she's a conceited bitch and didn't want nobody to have him but her, even though she didn't want him. She wanted more power, and she got that with the Demon King.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like of anything, that whole thing probably didn't need to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think of everything, like, that probably bugged me the most was this whole ex thing.
Right?
I feel like there's so much intrigue with the Owl Witch and the Veil being the father and, like, the brothers and the other Dustwalker brides. I feel like she could have done away with the Demon King aspect of things. And then, you know, you wouldn't have the parts that you hated.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I say just stop at about the 80% mark. But again, it was a really clever idea. I loved it.
Yeah.
I really did. I'm probably not going to read the rest of the books. I mean, I'd have to be like really desperate or in like a mood to like torture myself. I might read book 6 that's about to come out. Only because, spoilers for those who have not read the blurb, if I read the blurb correctly, the Dustwalker bride is already dead.
Oh.
And he's a wandering soul.
That's interesting.
So that I could be, I might. And it's an MM and I love MM, so.
Oh.
I would be interested to see how she does it that way. But all the other ones that are human and then die to become bonded, no, absolutely not. Again, unless I'm really like, ugh, go ahead and just read it, Misty. That way you can, if I'm looking to be angry, I'll read it.
Yeah. I read it so long ago. I probably won't read the subsequent books. But the only reason I would is to find out more about, like, the witch owl, the veil, like, that whole kind of subplot. I really, like...
I agree.
Because, like, I really, like, the romance was not bad. I loved him, again, sweetheart. And I loved that she had the plus size representation with the main female character. Can't remember her name. Like, I think she did both of those things really, really well. But I'm not, like, huge into monster romance. So, like, I could take it or leave it. But I was very interested, kind of, like, intrigued by the whole world that she was building.
Okay, so his name is Orpheus, I think. O-R-P-H-E-U-S.
Okay, yeah, Orpheus.
And then hers is Rhea, R-E-I-A. Rhea?
Okay. Yeah, I think I said Rhea when I was reading it.
I probably just said R. Or Ray.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm 100%. I would continue read it to torture myself and also, like you're saying, like the witch out and the veil and like that whole subplot. Because you know it's going to continue to grow and learn as the series progresses. Right. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
But she was an interesting character. I would love to have a prequel of her and like, I know she tells us, but like to have her story. Yeah.
Yeah.
And falling in love with the veil. Oh my gosh. That kind of gives me like Addie LaRue vibes just a little bit.
Oh. Yeah.
It would be hot.
It would be hot.
Just saying.
So do we want to go ahead and move into ratings for this one?
Yes. Okay, so Darkness, I'm going to say like a 2 or a 3.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go pretty low on, because I mean, in my opinion, monster, like just monster doesn't mean dark.
We see them kill the demons. She does get her revenge on the bullies and feeds her bully to Orpheus's brother. I think that's off page though. They kill the ex-girlfriend and then they eat humans. I don't remember if that's on page or not. So yeah, I would say like a 2 or a 3.
Yeah. I'm good with that. I mean, I'm good with a 2, I think.
Yeah, I think a 2. Because like the life that they're trying to live and the nature of them is not dark. It's the environment and like all the out things. So yeah, I would say a 2. Now, it'd be different if, like, we saw him, like, eat the human.
Right. Like, if it was described.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I agree. But it's not.
Okay. And then the spicy.
You're going to have 3? To lead the pack here. Because I don't remember much of the spicy. I remember when you mentioned, like, the under the covers thing, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot she like explored him.
Yeah, so he had to give her a bath twice a day to put the thing, or once a day or twice a day or whatever, to put the lotion on to stop her scent. So there was a lot of, you know, touching and stuff like that. And then I mean, the sex was pretty good.
Yeah
But I would say 3. I mean, it's a monster. He's got a monster. Yeah. Once she gives him permission. Okay. So I just remember this. Once she gives him permission to like, yes, we are like in this sexual relationship. We can have sex. Like he wants to have sex all the time, obviously. I mean, even as a monster, as a guy. But she was like, I'll let you know when it's too much. Cause he's like, well, let me know if I, you know, like he was very verbal, as we've previously said. Well, I guess I can't remember, but I guess one night it was just too much. And then so she goes to sleep in her bed, even though she's been sleeping in his. And he's like, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? Why is she mad at me? She's sleeping in her own room. She shut the door. And like, he's pacing. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go ask her. And he creeps into the room and he's like, you know, he like touches, you know, taps or whatever. He's like, why are you mad at me? She's like, I'm not mad at you. She's like, well, why aren't you sleeping in the bed with me? She's like, well, I told you if it was too much, I would let you know. I need to sleep. And he's like, oh. And then she's like, well, what do you want? He's like, well, I just wanted to cuddle. And she's like, oh, well, if it's no sex, no hanky-panky, because I'm really tired, I need to sleep, then we can cuddle.
Right.
It was. I loved that moment. That was so...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's like not what's said and happening, but that's pretty much
yeah.
the gist of it. And then she like reminisces about it. She's like, I can't believe he thought I was angry at her and he just wanted to cuddle. I'm like, of course he just wants to cuddle. You should cuddle him. So I would say a 3, because sometimes with monster romances, they don't go into the detail, or you can't understand the anatomy or how they're having sex because of the, you know, the proportions. She did a really good job of explaining it. And
yeah,
it was kind of kinky, but like not sweaty or whatever. And there was multiple, if I remember, there's at least 2 or 3 scenes that we see on page.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's just like kind of like fade or it jumps. But I would give it like a 3 on the spicy.
I'm good with that.
And then the overall.
I mean, I would probably rate it as a 3 overall. Like, it's not something I would reread. If you like monster romance, I would recommend you to read this book. Like, what bothered you so much wasn't, I didn't even think about it when it all happened.
I would probably give it a 3 because it's more than 50% that I enjoyed. It was like I said, like the 80% mark or 90. Yeah. Like it's literally just that. But then that taints it for me because all of this greatness and then the last thing I read is trash, right? Like, but for everything else, I would give it a 3, but I would probably be explicit in my review of being like, ugh, just stop here.
Yeah.
So I would say a 3.
Okay.
Yeah. We done?
Yeah. Okay. All right, listeners, thanks so much for listening in on this episode. And if you've read this book, where would the darkness rate with you?
Thank you for joining us on the journey into the shadows of love, where dark romance stories come to life.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Bones of the Story as much as we did. If you did, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your feedback means the world to us.
And to stay updated on all things dark romance, follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
We'd also love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, ideas, or even your own dark romance stories with us. Drop us a line at bonesofthestory@gmail.com.
Remember, our next tantalizing episode is just around the corner, so keep your hearts open and your senses sharp.
Until then, embrace the darkness and let the stories continue to stir your deepest desires.
This is Misty
and Jen
signing off from Bones of the Story.